T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I guess the good news is, because the Jets and Giants play at the same time, you can really only watch one mess or a little bit of each mess. Back in the old days when it was 1-4, you had to watch all the messes.
Did you mention we're live at the Black Bear Studio? Delicious Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheese is only a shopper.
It's true, we are.
Just want to mention it.
True story. But the problem that was frustrating with Sunday is that the game of the weekend, in my opinion, was obviously Ravens-Niners. I don't think that's just my opinion.
And it was a good game, too. So.
It was a tremendous game. It was played in the elements. It was rainy. It was messy. It was a close game. It was a great game. The problem is, because it was played at 1, unless you have the Sunday ticket and you just elected to watch that game, most of New York, most of the people listening, probably only got to see highlights. You probably didn't see that much of this game. And it was what, personally, I love about football. It wasn't a high-octane offensive kind of game. There was actually a lot of offense early on, a couple of big fourth-down conversions. And then in the second half, it became a slog. And you know what the difference was? And this may seem like a small thing, but I think it's a significant thing as the Baltimore Ravens get set to go to the playoffs and potentially win a Super Bowl. They have a weapon, and it's not Lamar Jackson. They have a weapon that most teams don't have. And that weapon is Justin Tucker.
The kicker.
Because this kicker is tremendous. Now, if you go back to the end of the first half.
But let me just say this, too. What's the number on Tucker? He hasn't missed a fourth quarter field goal. I don't know how many games it is.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking like years without missing a fourth quarter field goal.
Though I think he missed a fourth quarter extra point last year.
Well, that may be. But he hasn't missed a fourth quarter field goal in a long time.
And he's only missed one field goal this entire season.
Right.
So I think 22 for 23, 23 for 24.
In a year where kickers are missing all over the place.
Exactly. So take a look at this game. End of the first half, Robbie Gould lines up for a 51-yard field goal for San Francisco. He misses it. There's your difference. And, you know, maybe not as much with Harrison Butker in Kansas City, who's had a very good year. But guess what? He's not Justin Tucker. And look at the Patriots. The Patriots, they don't have all reliable anymore. Gostkowski is done.
They're on like their fourth kicker this year.
Yeah, they're bringing in guys by the week.
Right. Last week it was Nick Folk. Before that it was Mike Nugent.
Yes.
I mean, they've had them all over the place.
And the Ravens have this golden toe. And you look at a game like yesterday, which was very significant for both teams. Obviously, the Ravens now have the leg up on home field advantage, thanks to what happened to the Patriots later. They won that game because they have Justin Tucker and the Niners don't. And think about this. When you've got a weapon like Lamar Jackson, and we saw this yesterday where they'll go for it on fourth down. You know, it's tough enough stopping them three times. Try stopping them on fourth down. And then you've got a kicker that's got the range from Antarctica. How do you have possessions where the Ravens don't get points? I mean, think about it. You got a kicker that can hit it from 55 out. Even in terrible conditions like yesterday, you've got confidence in this guy. So it's another thing that the Ravens have going into the postseason that makes them so difficult to beat. And in this year in which kicking has been so bad, I think it makes Justin Tucker even that much more valuable.
Yeah. Hey, look, you're dead on. Like, when you got a guy that can kick him like that all the time, and especially in the money in the fourth quarter, that's pretty good.
Yep.
So you're right. And especially, it's glaring when you look at a season like where we've had where kicks are – nothing is automatic anymore. There is no such thing as an automatic extra point, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it even more valuable.
Yep.
And obviously the damaging thing for San Francisco in a year in which they've only lost two games all season long is that now all of a sudden the Seattle Seahawks have the leg up on not only winning this division, but if you don't win the division, we know what the drop is.
Yeah, sure.
You drop
and they got a tough schedule. They
got
to play the Saints next week in New Orleans. Now, Saints have already clinched their division, but they still got to play them in New Orleans. And got to play the Rams and the Seahawks yet.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
Look, the division may well come down. The number one seed may come down to that final game Seattle. But you mentioned that Saint game, which is still a 1 o'clock game, which stinks.
Yep.
Stinks that game is at 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, at least the Giants don't play at 1 next week.
That's right. The Giants play on Monday night.
Yep.
So you get to be embarrassed on national TV. Though for the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yesterday,
that is a horrific loss.
Oh, my God.
Especially after what happened with Dallas and with the schedule the Eagles have. I mean, it's That's bad.
This was the game, you know, when we talked about who's going to win the NFC East, a part of why I've always been leaning.
Washington,
right there. I guess they have a chance. Part of why I always thought it would be Philadelphia was the schedule. The fact, oh, they got the Dolphins, they got the Giants, they have the Redskins, they have the Giants. I mean, look, they don't even have to be that good. They'll accidentally win 10 games. Accidentally. And they blow a 2-score lead to the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. They make Ryan Fitzpatrick look like, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They make Devontae Parker look like Jerry Rice. They turn this bizarre formation.
Unbelievable.
In which they go from a field goal attempt to the punter hack, getting the ball, and then flipping it awkwardly to Jason Sanders, the place kicker, to score a touchdown. I mean, that was the Miami special, whatever the hell you want to call it.
I'll tell you one thing, and I keep saying this about the Dolphins. They play for Brian Flores. They're playing for this guy.
They do.
They really are.
The Dolphin fan, I know a lot of Dolphin fans wanted to lose. They wanted to get the number one overall pick.
Well, they can't get Tua. It's not going to be Tua now.
Well,
so.
They could draft Tua.
They could, but I don't. I doubt they will.
I doubt they will, too. They can take him at 4 or 5. But I think one of the big positives coming out of this year is that you got to love what you're seeing from this head coach. I think you're spot on, man.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Now, it's early. I think it's very different to go into a season with 0-16 expectations, win a couple of games. Everybody thinks you're Vince Lombardi. I get that. But the early returns on Brian Flores are really good. The returns on Philadelphia is that this is a brutal loss. It's one thing to lose to the Patriots in Seattle at home. Now you lose to the Dolphins, and all of a sudden now if you're an Eagle fan, you look at the Giants twice, you look at the Redskins and say, yeah, as bad as they are, I mean, am I that confident they're going to win three out of these four games?
Yep. No, you're right.
But somebody's going to win.
And they play the Cowboys again.
Right.
So
Which they kind of have to win. They're already a game behind Dallas.
They have to win.
Yeah.
They have to win that game. They lose it. Forget it. Dallas is 2 games ahead of them with the tiebreaker now.
So really 3 games.
No, they have to beat the Cowboys.
But somebody's going to win this division, and somebody's going to host a playoff game.
Right.
Against probably
a team that's got a much better record than them.
Yeah, San Francisco or
right.
Seattle.
Imagine that. The Niners have to go to Dallas to play the Cowboys.
Crazy,
they
man.
They go like 12-4.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh Steelers did it again. They're getting points at home. You
money.
Called it.
Bro, they're money at home. I'm sick. It's funny. What's my going to get my exact number here? Hold on a second. Let's see.
Your record picking the Steelers?
No, I know what it is. I'm just saying overall. All right, so I'm 17-22 overall.
Right.
6-2 when I pick the Steelers. I'm 6-2 with the Steelers, which means I'm 11-20 when I don't.
Right.
How bad is that?
Crazy. Well, it just shows you the Steelers. You've been riding the Steelers well.
Yep.
And, you know, we talk about we knew this game was over. When I knew this game was over, I think it was Saturday morning, I had read that Freddie Kitchens was caught wearing a Pittsburgh Started It t-shirt out in public.
What?
Yeah. I guess one of his relatives gave him a joke present for Thanksgiving that said Pittsburgh started it. Now, obviously, we're all kind of our implication is it's from the fight. From the big
base. Right, right.
Rudolph,
oh, I see.
Miles
Garrett. Yeah, I'm saying, okay, now I get it. Yeah,
now,
right.
So he goes and wears it to a movie. And, of course, somebody notices, hey, that's Freddie Kitchen. Let me take a picture. So he's caught in public wearing a t-shirt that says Pittsburgh started it. When I saw that story Saturday morning, I said to myself, they're going to lose this game. This is so perfect for the story of the 2019 Cleveland Browns. They're on a winning streak. The Steelers are on their third quarterback. Everybody thinks, here come the Browns. They're about to win 4 in a row. They got the Bengals twice, the Cardinals coming up. Here we go. They're going to lose to the Steelers. And that t-shirt was a terrible omen. The other thing is Baker Mayfield banged up his hand because he jammed it against Bud Dupree's
helmet.
Came
back in the game, though.
Yeah, but
with a glove on.
He was affected.
No, of course. Sure.
No doubt about it, affected it. And I mentioned this to you. Late in this game, as the Browns are trying to rally down a touchdown, there was a horrific roughing the passer penalty against Bud Dupree. Horrible play. And I'm thinking, oh, my, this is what we're talking about Monday. Mm-hmm. It was a bad call. It's going to impact the game. Next play, Joe Hayden got the interception to seal the
game. Wrapped
it
up.
Which shows you that there are bad calls that none of us even notice because of things like that.
And I want to say this about Pittsburgh, and I've already gave Tomlin, to me, he's the coach of the year, they're 7-5, and would anybody really be surprised if they wind up, you know, making the playoffs? They're not going to win the division, but, you know, they're in the second wild card. Would anybody really be surprised? The Pittsburgh Steelers are everything I wish the Jets could be.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, everything I wish the Jets could be. They never have a really bad year. They've had some down years, but generally their bad year is like 8-8. Like, that's a bad year in Pittsburgh. Yep. Like, a bad year in Pittsburgh is when they don't make the playoffs. That's a bad year.
You're right.
They've had 3 coaches since 1970. Every one of them has won a Super Bowl. This is what you would aspire. And everyone's won a Super Bowl, and all of them been to multiple Super Bowls. Let's throw that in there, too, because Cowher and Tomlin went to Super Bowls. They didn't win. I mean, this you could only wish that the Jets were the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
I am so jealous of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can't tell you.
No.
Really, it's unbelievable.
And you know another team that sort of entered that territory over the last decade would be the Ravens.
Oh, there's no doubt they are.
They've entered that territory,
except it
too.
Hasn't been as long.
Right, but it hasn't been as long. I know a few years ago they had a 5-win year, but most part, their bad years are like 8 or 9 wins.
Right, and if they have a 5-win year, that's it. Then next year they're back in the playoffs again.
Right, it doesn't usually happen over and over again.
Right.
No, you're right. They're a model franchise. And I got this pick wrong. I had a good week, but I got this pick wrong. Was the Titans, and I got to give them a ton of credit.
Yeah.
First of all, Derrick Henry's playing on another level.
Yep.
The last three games, he's had 189, 159, and 149 on the ground. So that's number one. Number two, the quarterback's been great. We mentioned Ryan Tannehill throughout the show. And three, they made a play on specials. Adam Vinatieri lines up for a field goal about 4 or 5 minutes to go in this game. It's tied at 17. Yep. Colts have a chance to take the lead. Blocked, returned for a touchdown, and then they tacked on a touchdown later. So the 31-17 score was sort of unfair in dictating the game, much like the Patriots score wasn't accurate either. But a really good victory for Tennessee. And this is a Titan team that every year wins 9 games. Every year.
Every year.
I think it's 3 straight years they've won 9 games.
Yep.
And I don't know if 9 is going to be enough this season. We'll see. The Pittsburgh Steelers are right there for a wild card spot. And I was talking to you about this off air. They play the Texans twice. They haven't played them yet.
Right.
So I'm not saying they're going to beat them twice. And it's the last 2 out of 3 weeks of the year, week 15 and week 17.
Right.
But they've got a shot. I mean, they win those games. They can win the division.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is the Colts. You're starting to see the effect of not having Andrew Luck. I think that's also starting to happen now.
Yeah, well.
You know, I mean, look, for all due respect to Brissett, he's a nice quarterback, I mean, but that's what he is. They had to play Hoyer a couple games. They lost that game to they lost both games, I think, Hoyer started, right?
Yep, they did.
They went to Indianapolis.
Miami.
To the Miami, and who was the other one they lost to?
They lost to Pittsburgh.
Oh, right. So you're starting to see the effects of that.
And Marlon Mack, too, being banged up.
Yep.
That certainly doesn't help out.
Nope.
Yeah, it's the opposite of last year, because this year the Steelers got off to Indianapolis Colts got off to a good start.
Yeah, they were 1-5.
Right. And this year they're 5-2. Since then they've lost 4 out of 5.
Yep.
So they're dropping fast in their pursuit of making the postseason. So, but a big win for Tennessee, always seems to do it under the radar.
Yep.
The Redskins got a victory.
Unbelievable. They rushed for like 200-something yards. This Darius Geis, who we saw, really, was the first time I really saw him, was in the game against the Jets.
Yep.
And the game was out of hand already, but Geis had some big moments in that game. He had a nice touchdown run in that game. I said, wow, this guy looks like he's got something.
Well, remember last year there were high hopes for him, and I think he tore his ACL. I think that was the injury he had and missed the entire season. So they got a little 1-2 punch going with Darius Geis, and even Adrian Peterson who had a touchdown in this game.
Yep.
The Jaguars lost to Tampa Bay, but I thought the interesting story from this game is that Nick Foles was pulled at halftime, and they went back to Gardner Minshew, which I understand. I mean, if I'm a Jaguar fan right now at 4-8, and I know Nick Foles is making a ton of money, the Super Bowl with Philadelphia,
that's
all
why they went back to him.
Yeah, because I want to see what this Gardner Minshew is.
Right, of course.
And I would be surprised if Nick Foles is on this team next year.
Yeah. Yep.
The cap hit for cutting him is enormous, but they could trade him. And the reason why I think a team would take him is I think if you're the Chicago Bears.
Maybe the Eagles will take him. Never know. The Eagles might say, wait a minute, I want him back.
Right.
They can't be thrilled with their quarterback right now. So I would say, you know, maybe that sounds crazy, but who knows?
Hey, crazier things have happened.
Yep.
But I think the Nick Foles era in Jacksonville is on its way out. It should, because you got a young kid in Gardner Minshew, and I think you want to see what you have with him.
And when he played better than Foles.
Yeah. Oh, in this game he did.
Well, and just all year,
and overall, you're right. You're right about that. Rams destroyed the Cardinals.
Killed
that was a Kyler Murray welcome to the NFL moment.
And
the
Rams would do for a game like that.
Yep. No, you're right.
You know.
The Chiefs just annihilated the Raiders.
My God, the Raiders. I tell you, I'm watching this game, and I had the Raiders, you know, in the picks, get 9.5. And I thought they'd play a good game here. But I'm telling you, that fourth down play at 7-0, they're done. They're done.
And they, you know, when
Jacobs off the field.
And what's crazy is when Jacobs has had the ball in his hands in this game, he was effective.
He rushed for over 100 yards, I think, a couple times. Then he lost yardage and then got it back again.
Yep.
But I mean, how about the way this game ends, too, with the extra point being blocked and the guy they return it for the two-point conversion? Oh, my God.
Craziness.
Oh,
and Derek Carr, and I don't know if I should read into this, but I'll just say it out loud, and you can decide on your own now. 0-8 when temperatures are under 45 degrees. Oh. I don't know if it means anything.
I don't know how good Derek Carr is. I mean,
the last 2 weeks he's been awful, but before that he was having a hell of a year.
He was okay. I mean, I
he was having a good year.
Okay.
Raiders are 6-4. He was playing well the last 2 weeks. He's been terrible. Not the last 2 weeks, I'm not, no.
All right.
No, but I'm just saying, before that, dude, before that, they're 6-4. He's playing well. Everybody's
happy. I understand.
They got annihilated the last 2 weeks.
I just don't know how good he is. That's me. I don't know.
Well, the Chargers charged.
Oh, my God.
And that was such a typical.
Don't make that call, though, bro.
The P.I. and Casey
Hayward. I mean, come on. There's 14 seconds left in the damn game. And here's the thing that kills me about the being able to challenge this. You can't challenge it. You can't challenge that. You know, I'm sure, okay, that Anthony Lynn wanted to challenge that. But he can't challenge because in the last 2 minutes, and they're not
going to review it.
They're not going to review it. Why would they review
it? But here's a problem. Do you not think it was pass interference?
It probably was, but it decides the game. And it shouldn't.
I
give them credit. I'll say this. I'll give the Broncos credit for not just kneeling down and let's play for the overtime.
Right, and everybody thought that.
I did too.
Yeah, and what's funny is
they're lining up and he's throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah, Drew Lock is looking at his wrist, looking at a play, and I forget who was doing the commentary, but he says, boy, I don't think he's looking at a kneel down right now.
Right.
And that was the first indication they're going to take a shot down the field.
I think it was Andrew Catalan and James Lofton.
There you go. So James Lofton was all over
because
Lofton initially said what we all thought, hey, you know, it's 10 seconds
to go. But what bothers me is that you're probably running that play in hopes that you're going to get a pass interference.
Absolutely.
Call.
Well, don't interfere with them.
I
mean, that's the biggest problem. I get what you're saying you don't want that to determine the game. I get that. But I also, I'm not a huge fan of saying this is pass interference at one part of the game, but now
that's
it's not.
It's though. But that's part of that's all over the league.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be.
Wow.
A penalty is a penalty.
And they have to get rid of being able to review pass interference. I can't take it anymore. Because these guys, and Gene Steratore, I wish I had the exact commentary as he was humming about why all of a sudden now in the last 2 weeks after going 2 months without calling any, without overturning any pass interference challenges. None. Now all of a sudden the last 2 weeks, we've seen it like 4 or 5 times.
There's no good answer to it other than they got an edict that said, hey, overturn some PIs.
Right,
that's the only answer.
Because we haven't done it for 2 months.
Right.
That's exactly the answer.
You can't tell me that all of a sudden now these are all overturnable. That's not true.
Of course. So please, Gene Steratore, don't give me the nonsense. You know, and it makes me so crazy with these guys. Every time there's a damn penalty. All right, let's bring Mike Pereira in. All right, let's bring Steratore in. All right, let's bring Blandino in. I want to vomit. This is not what football is about. Football's not about how many flags can the officials throw. And how about this, too? All right? And I don't know because I didn't see the end of the game. The Chiefs didn't get called for a penalty yesterday. How in this world of the NFL, all right, tell me this, seriously.
Right.
Can you not throw one flag against a team in an NFL game when these guys are throwing flags all over the place? You're going to tell me that wouldn't have mattered. They were killing the Raiders anyway. But you're going to tell me that the Chiefs yesterday, there wasn't one penalty you could have thrown on them? Come on.
It is kind of crazy.
I mean, you got to be kidding me.
The Chiefs,
and they threw like 12 on the Raiders.
12 for 99.
What are you kidding me?
It was similar in the Jet game, though.
Of course.
But we sat there and watched the Jet game.
The Bengals, who haven't won a game all year, they're all of a sudden this pristine team. They got like 3 penalties in the game. Three.
Well, but in fairness, because we're watching every play of the Jets-Bengal game. Were there penalties they didn't call?
Who knows? Do you know that?
No, look, we're not seeing every play, but there was nothing obvious. Sometimes there are non-calls that we go crazy about.
Bro, I don't buy any of that.
What do you mean?
That is nonsense.
What do you mean?
Because these guys call it when they feel like it. They see a ticky-tack call and they throw the damn flag.
I agree that there are.
And you're telling me that an NFL team in this age of the flag every damn second, not one penalty on that team? Come on.
I'm
not buying that. I'm sorry, bro. I don't freaking buy it.
No, I'm not bringing up the Chiefs because I didn't watch every single snap of that game. I'm talking about the things we see on TV,
bro,
in the Jet Bengal
game. I don't
game.
Trust these officials from here to there. These guys have too much. I'm going to say it again and again and again. They have too much control over the games. The league doesn't want to do anything about it. They don't want to do anything about it. All they want to do is add more rules and more stuff you can review. They make superstars out of the Dean Blandinos and the Gene Steratores and all these guys. I'm tired of it, man. I love football more than any sport. I am sick and tired of the damn penalties because they could call win on any play, and these guys, oh, I think I'll throw the flag here. And I'm sorry. You can't tell me that's not going down.
None of these guys are above reproach.
I don't trust these officials.
You think they're fixing things?
I don't know. I don't know anything, especially the way you can gamble on football now. Please, give me a break. I'm tired. Not one penalty on the Chiefs yesterday. That's impossible in the NFL now. Impossible.
Well, no, you're right that with No, I'm not debating that there shouldn't have been a penalty or two on the Chiefs.
This is not you. I'm just yelling in out loud as a football fan that's sick of it. I'm sick of it. And you tell me one guy, NFL fan, that's not sick of it with these stupid penalties and having to see Gene Steratore have to hummina telling me the BS that these guys throw out there. I am sick of it. No, I really am, bro.
But
I can't tell you how sick of it I am.
Listen, I think we all agree with you at the different levels on this. I mean, the last thing we want to do as a football fan is
Let's sit there and watch penalties being thrown. Let's get some more rules. Let's get another rule out there. Let's get another dumb rule so we can throw another damn flag. How about that?
But the funny thing is, wouldn't you prefer, even though it's
a logical... I would not.
But you don't even know what I said.
I would not. I want to see one game where they don't throw a flag in the game.
That's what I was going to...
Joe, what I was going to say is... One damn game where there's no flag thrown at all.
But, bro, what I was going to say is, don't you prefer seeing a team not be called for a penalty?
Yeah, but that's impossible.
Look, it's crazy.
But the Chiefs, obviously, not one holding penalty on the Chiefs yesterday? Come on.
Well, look, when there's 10 called on the other team, it looks bad.
Of course.
But I love a football game, and you do too, where there's five flags the entire game.
Right.
You prefer to see that. It's rare, but it happens.
Well, how often?
Very rarely.
Of course.
Most of the time.
Because these guys got to justify their existence, these officials. And the NFL does nothing about it. It's the biggest damn problem this league has, and all they want to do is put more in. They want more rules. They want to review more things. They want to put another idiot former official referee making $10 million a year in the booth with these guys. I'm sick of it. I'm sorry, bro. I am freaking sick of it. I'm sick of every game I watch, I see a play, and I got to wait 10 seconds to see if there's a flag or not because the play's going to change. And it's over and over and over. And you tell me, I mean it, man. All the NFL fans out there, do you like that? Aren't you sick and freaking tired of it? Oh, man.
Dude, nobody likes it.
I act cool at the end of the Charger game, and I could care less about the Chargers. But give me a break. You decide that game on that? Come on. Give me a break.
Bro, nobody wants to see 25 flags thrown in the game.
I'm so disgusted with it anymore. Oh, not a flag on the Chiefs. The Chiefs didn't make one holding penalty yesterday. Give me a break. Who's kidding who?
And they ran the ball like 25 times.
Who the hell are you kidding? Who was the guys that did the... I don't even know who did the...
I gotta check it out.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you really want to know?
What official that did it?
It's funny. The Kansas City Chiefs ran the ball 30 times in this game.
Not one holding penalty, bro.
You would think
that. Is that possible?
No, look, overall, I agree with your point. I'd rather see a game. Obvious, I think we all agree, where there aren't a million flags. I'm with you on that.
I want to vomit.
And the truth is... Like, when we watch a football game, like when we watch a Jet-Bengal game, which both of us, I think most people listening, watched every play of, you're only seeing what the TV is showing.
Of course.
So, obviously, yeah, there are parts of the field we are not seeing where maybe they missed a call. My only point is there was nothing egregious that jumped out at me where I said, how did you not call a flag on that? But that's only half of what we're seeing.
I don't know what egregious is anymore. What is that?
How many times have we seen
quarterbacks get hit in the head, all right, helmet-to-helmet shots, and they don't throw the flag? Why? Because he's not one of the – what? Because it's Ryan Fitzpatrick or it's Josh Allen.
Yeah.
It's not one of the quarterbacks, the quote-unquote, as I say, anointed ones.
Yeah.
It makes me freaking delirious.
Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield got a great roughing the passer call from him. I didn't know Baker Mayfield was anointed.
No, I didn't know he was in that level. All you got to do is we'll see how many commercials does the guy have.
Yeah. Well, for doing what? Well,
exactly. And he does. Baker Mayfield. He's on TV more than Gene Steratore.
Well, look, overall, and you're right. I mean, you are right that most football fans don't want to see a million flags. And right now, of all the negative things about the sport, that is the biggest negative.
It's their biggest problem,
NFL.
And they don't
You're
care.
Right.
And they just keep going on their merry way. Oh, it's just great. They don't change a damn thing.
I think that they know that there is backlash. The problem is the ratings are still good. The ratings are up. And I don't know if they feel the pressure to change it, but they know what the fans think. Well, they know what the announcers think. Think about how many times broadcasters bring it up.
Well, certainly Troy Aikman has a million times.
Oh, absolutely.
Al Michaels, too.
So I hope they do something about it. But right now, most games see like 15, 20 flags in a game, more than that. Yeah.
But the Chiefs didn't commit a penalty yesterday.
They did not. They would call for zero penalties.
Not one penalty.
Or at least accepted
penalties. The Chiefs
penalties.
Did not commit a penalty yesterday. It's almost impossible. In the NFL.
And 10 for the Raiders. If the Raiders were called for three, I think it'd be easier for you to digest. If you're like, wow, what a great game. They only called three flags. The fact that they were 10 on Oakland and zero on Kansas City, it looks bad. And the Jet game had something similar. Jets were called for 10.
Of course.
Bengals were called for three.
Right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.